Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.org. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. Sing that. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, you never stop working. Never stop. Let's sing Waymaker. Lift up your voices. We make your way to our seats. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, pray now as Mike comes to share the truth with us, Lord, that you would speak through him as he brings a passage to us that is familiar to us, but that will speak such truth. Lord, I pray that we would learn what it means to live out this key word in this passage over and over that we read. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Be seated, friends.
Well, good morning. How are you doing today? Good to see you. You sound like you're awake. The first crowd was a little sleepy, I think. So it's good to see you this morning. And if you have a copy of God's Word, turn to John's Gospel, chapter 15. And we're going to read that in just a sec as we gather this morning. Let me just say how much I love your pastor and what a great friend that he has become. And I just want to just say that to you, that you are blessed to have the man you have here. And, you know, not many churches are concentrating their efforts on praying like y'all pray. And that's impressive, not because of the man. It's impressive because if we touch heaven with our prayer, certainly God is going to touch us with answers. Amen. It's when we ask not. That we get not. Amen. And so it's good to be a praying church and doing that together as brothers and sisters, encouraging one another. And so what a blessing to be with you. By the way, nobody knows what an AMS is. I mean, that's the Association of Mission Strategists. They used to call us a DOM, but I think they got tired of, you know, people calling us dumb old men. So I think they changed it to make it a little bit more respectable, I guess. So if you can't remember what an AMS is or what I am, it doesn't matter. I still answer with here's chicken or something like that, you know. So some of y'all didn't get that. It's all right. You'll wake up here in a minute, all right? But anyways, we think about John 15 this morning. I want you to look at the text with fresh eyes and an open heart this morning, because I think that it's so easy when something is familiar to us to scan through it and to miss what God may be saying. And I know you've heard this passage probably a million times, especially verse 5. Abide in me and I in you. Without me you can do nothing. I mean, we've heard this a million times. But what I want to do this morning is sort of walk you through this text. And I hope that it will not be anything new, because listen, here's the reality. If any preacher stands behind a pulpit and says, I got something new this morning, tune them out, because there's nothing new. God's word, as God has given it to us, is nothing new. Men have been preaching and sharing the word. Women have been sharing the word to children in Sunday school classes for hundreds of years. And so it's nothing new, but I hope it's something fresh. As the Lord speaks into our life this morning, you can't help but think, if he is our way maker and he is working where we can't see and when we can't feel it, we can't help but to realize that what Jesus is calling on us to do in this text is just simply to abide, to rest in him. And I want you to listen to what Jesus says, beginning in verse 1. We're going to read down to verse 17. And just hear what he says to us. Listen to the text. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and it's withered. They gather them and they throw them into the fire and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so you'll be my disciples. Listen, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you. And he says, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And he says, and I appointed you that you should bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Now, as we sort of gander at the text this morning, I want to give you some background to hang some truth upon. As we think about Jesus giving this discourse to his disciples, he says a few important things at the beginning of the verses in verse 1 and 2. He reminds us, first of all, that he is the I am. He's God incarnate. He's God in the flesh. Jesus, even though he looked like men, he was not like us. He was not a sinner. Neither did he ever sin. Neither could he sin. Amen? He was perfect. He was God incarnate. God in the flesh. But as we think about Jesus talking today and the things that Jesus is saying as the I am, he says, I want to remind you that I am the vine. That is, that I am the life source for your life. You know, isn't it interesting, as Christians, we try to find vitality and strength from many places. Some are trying to find it by being a church member. Some are trying to find it by serving. Some are trying to find it by reading their Bible yearly, doing it well, and keeping up with a reading plan. But they're not finding life. Why is that? Why does service become drudgery? Why does reading our Bible become difficult? Why is that? Because we're trying to find life in the wrong place. Jesus said, I'm the vine. Sustenance and life only come through the vine, to the branch. That's the only place. Now, all those other things are good. Please don't misunderstand. But life only comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, not only am I the vine, but he says, my Father is the vine dresser. I love a modern day term would be caretaker. The Father comes in and he inspects the branches that are in the vine. And as the Father is inspecting the branches, notice that he's doing two things according to what Jesus said. As Jesus said, the Father is looking and caring for the vine and the branch. He's looking for branches that are either bearing no fruit, that is, they're barren, there's nothing there, there's no life, there's no vitality, there's no reason for it to exist. And what does he do? The Bible said that he cuts it off and they throw it into the fire. Now, that's an example, by the way, of what I'm understanding Jesus to be saying is a disciple who's not really a disciple. Think about Jesus walking with 12 guys, but at the end, there was one who was the devil. There was one who was a betrayer. We know him as Judas Iscariot. He may have looked like a disciple. He may have walked with the disciples, but his heart remained unchanged. He was lost. And the fruit of his life was not one of godly fruit, was not the character of Christ. Matter of fact, the Bible says, before Satan even entered into his heart on the night he betrayed Jesus, he was already a thief. He was stealing the money. He set himself up, didn't he? Why? Because his heart was barren. And what happened? He's cut off and he's thrown into the fire. We're not going to see him in heaven. He's lost forever. The second thing that the Father does when he sees a branch that's bearing fruit, the Bible says that he prunes it in order that it may what? Bear more fruit. Now that's good news, because the good news is that as we bear fruit in our life, as we exhibit the character of Christ and we live out this Christ life, as the Father looks into our life, he sees those things that need to be cut away. Amen? You ever have things in your life need to be cut away? I can remember when I was at Munford Baptist, and one day I was in the sound booth with one of my deacons, just an older gentleman, much wiser than I wish I could ever be. His name was Clarence Smith. And Clarence, when we were working in that booth, he said to me, and I don't even know how the subject came up, it's one of those God moments. He said to me, he said, Brother Mike, he said, I think you got a problem with pride. Let me tell you, Chris, I wanted to take that deacon and throw him from the balcony. Man, that cut me like somebody stabbing me in the gut. And we finished our little project, and I went back to my office in the other part of the church. He left, and I was stewing. You ever stew? I was stewing. And it was like the Spirit of God whispered in my heart and said, I want to prune that in your life. That's why that was said to you. I want to do something. Now, I wish I could say there's no more pride, amen? But that would be a prideful statement. But the reality is, that day, God pruned my life. Can I tell you, that doesn't feel good? Has God ever pruned you? Has God ever had to cut anything out of your life that was not of Jesus, that was not scriptural, and God said, I got to do this in your life in order that you can do what? That you can bear more fruit. Amen? Is God doing that in your life? Because that's what he wants to do. And so we have to ask ourselves the question, as we begin to think about this morning, Jesus said, he's the vine, the Father's the vine dresser, and God's looking at the branch and whether they bear fruit or don't bear fruit. The question begins is, what is the fruit he's talking about? Because I am so convinced that what we have done, at least in our Baptist heritage, is that we have considered the fruit just to be good works. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are some fruit of good works. I shared this morning, Paul writes to the church at Rome, and he says to them, I wish to come to you that I may bear some fruit among you as I have the Gentile. So he desired to come and to bear fruit there of evangelism, souls saved. But it's not just about us bearing fruit of work. It is the character of Christ that is in us. And that's how we do the work, is in his power, his strength, his character. Does that make sense? So it's not about just I'm out there doing a bunch of stuff and so I'm bearing fruit. No, it's about Christ in me that is pushing out of my life into the world as I bear fruit. Does that make sense? Somebody say amen. Come on now. It makes sense, I hope, right? Look for at least Chris to nod and say, yeah, yeah. So how do I know that to be true? How do I know that it's a reality that that's what God wants to do in my life is to bring the image of Christ? Because Jesus would say, unless you abide in me, you can do nothing. And it's about when I spend time with Jesus, what happens? His character is forged in my life. And why is that? Because that's God's predestined plan. Romans 8:29, for God predestined that we would be conformed to the image of his son, Jesus Christ. So are you more like Jesus today than the day you accepted him as your Savior? If you're not, then I have a question for you. Are you abiding? Are you abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ? The late Ron Dunn, great preacher in the Southern Baptist community, he said that when I walk by a tree and I see apples on the tree, I assume it's a apple tree, right? If I walk past a tree and it's got oranges on the tree, I assume it's a... If I walk past a tree and it's got spaghetti hanging from the tree, I assume it's a... Yeah, a spaghetti tree. Somebody's listening, amen. He goes on to say about this text that when I see somebody who's exhibiting the character of Christ, I assume they're a Christian, that they spent time with Jesus because his life is being lived out through their life. That's the fruit. The question comes, what does Jesus mean then by abiding? As a matter of fact, can I just submit to you that 12 times in the same area, in the same text, Jesus talked about abiding. As a matter of fact, so many times we're so stuck in verse 5 that we forget the richness of the rest of the text, especially when it comes to our prayer life and it comes to experiencing joy in life. And so as we begin to think about abiding this morning, Jesus used the Greek word meno. The word means to remain, means to stay, means to abide. I would interpret it this way. It's about having a continuous relationship, constant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about a Sunday love affair. I'm not talking about coming in on Sunday and singing the songs of the faith and worshiping together, and that's what we ought to be doing. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about just going to Sunday school. I'm not talking about just reading your Bible on Monday morning. I'm talking about, do you have a constant, consistent love affair with the Lord Jesus Christ? That is, do you every single day need him more and more and more? Do you abide him in a constant state? Because we can read our Bible without Jesus. We can do a lot of stuff without Jesus. Matter of fact, it's been said for hundreds of years, probably, at least in the last 50 years I know it's been said and written, that the Holy Spirit can be sucked out of a church and it would continue to go on just as if it never happened. Let that not be said of us. And it won't be if we abide in Jesus. Amen? You with me? All right, so if Jesus said that and we think it's important, he said it 12 times, then what did Jesus say about abiding? Well, the first thing, write it down. Number one, he said that we ought to abide in him. That's a given, right? You've heard that before. Look at verse 5. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. What a great summary of verse 4. He said the very same thing. So what Jesus is telling us here is that the life that you and I ought to live, a life of abiding, is one that is a life of dependence. Think about that for a minute. A life of dependence. If the branch is dependent upon the vine to bring the fluids, the food, in order for it to be lush and green and to bear fruit, then we are reliant upon Jesus in our relationship and our connectivity to him and our union with him in order to have life. Now, let's talk about life, first of all, eternal. Because you may be here today and say, well, you know, I don't know about this abiding in Jesus because I don't know Jesus. Well, here's the good news. He knows you. He loves you. He knows how many hairs are on your head or not on your head. He knows a lot about you. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that he loves you, that he would send forth his son, God would, to die for you, that he would literally bear your sin debt in his own flesh, in his own body, on the cross, stretching out his arms of love for you, bearing your punishment there. God would pour out all his wrath that you deserve upon his son. He would shed his blood to wash away your dark, nasty, stinking sin in order that you could be saved. Amen? And he did that from day one. When he came, that was his whole mission, to seek and save you who are lost. But praise God, he rose again on the third day. And Paul says he did that to make you righteous. That's the only way God's going to accept you, is the righteousness of Christ, nothing else. And if you're here today, at the end of this service, we're going to give you an opportunity to repent of your sin and come to faith in Christ. I pray, run to the altar. Run to Jesus. And so when Jesus says, abide in him and I in us, it's that life source. So he gives us eternal life. But listen, too many of us as Christians are trying to live our life in our own power, our own strength. Can't do it. I know it to be a reality. Listen, there have been times, I have to admit, Chris, there have been times I stepped in the pulpit and I've not been a prayer warrior as I should have been. I've not been abiding in Jesus like I should have been. And I preach and it falls flat. But I thought I waxed eloquent. Then there's been times I've been abiding with Jesus and stand up to preach. And dear brother, you've probably experienced this in your many years of preaching. You preach a message, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm like, I just wish this would end. I'm ready to go home. This is not very good. And at the end of the service, somebody gets saved. Somebody joined the church. Somebody's life gets changed. It's like, okay, God, I don't get it. He said, that's the point. That's the point. You're not abiding. You think you got it all together sometimes. I'm not going to do anything in that. But man, when you surrender, when you're dependent upon me, I'll do some awesome things. Boy, I don't know about you, that's what I want. Amen? That's the kind of stuff I want in my life. But we have to abide in him. But that's not all Jesus said. Slip down in verse 7 and 8. Because listen to what Jesus said. We miss this so much. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Now listen to what Jesus just said. It's important that we abide in him that we can bear fruit. We can't do nothing without him. But then he says, but you better also abide in my word. Now let's just hit the pause button, because here's the reality. Too many people think that the words of Jesus, they're the red letters. I got a Bible that doesn't have red letters, and the reason why I have that is it reminds me that the whole of Scripture is the word of Jesus. Now, you know why I know that? Because Jesus said in verse 1, go back to verse 1, he says, I am. I am. He's God. And because he's God, he's the author of the book. So from Genesis to Revelation, he is the author. It is his word. You cannot separate Jesus from the Bible. You cannot do that. So it's not just what Jesus is saying here or in the red letters in the Gospels. No, it is all of Scripture. So here's the question. Are we abiding in all of Scripture? Like, are we reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Yes, but are we reading Romans? Are we studying 2 Corinthians? Here's one that probably many of us are not studying. Are we studying Leviticus? You know, are we studying New Testament? Are we studying Philemon? You know, and then we got the stepchildren to 1 Corinthians, we got 2 Corinthians, then we got the stepchildren to 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. You know, we don't ever look at those kinds of books. We got to the big ones, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, are we abiding in the word of the Lord Jesus Christ as he has given to us? Because his word is crucial. I love what Paul said in Colossians 3:16. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of Christ dwell. Now, folks, here is what he's saying. Go back to Psalm 1. It is the guy who does not stand in the way of sinners, nor walk in the path of them, or sit in the seat of the scornful, but as he who has what? Whose delights in the law of the Lord, and on that law does he what? Meditate. What do we do with the word? We meditate upon the word. It's not a marathon to read through the Bible every year. That's a well and good thing, but it's not a marathon. As a matter of fact, I would rather people read a paragraph and God keep them for an hour there than to read an hour and not be kept any time. Why? Because I want God to say something to me. Amen? I want God to work in my life. I want God to illuminate his truth to me. And by the way, if we dwell on the word of Christ, did you catch the similarity? If you read over in Ephesians chapter 5, when it talks about being filled with the Spirit, there is so much similarity there because the Holy Spirit is the illuminator of the word of God. So when he fills me and I'm in the word, guess what? I'm going to sing to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I'm going to make that melody in my heart to the Lord. Are we abiding in Jesus? But are we abiding in his word? Now notice the effect. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, here it is. You can ask what you desire and it'll be done for you. You want a prayer life that means something? That accomplishes things? Be an abider. So when we knew we were coming this direction, and by the way, we knew we were coming here before the search team did. When we knew God was calling us this direction, I knew that I was going to be on the road a lot. And so we had one car. And Chris, I told Marina, I said, we have to buy another car. And Marina said, you know, God told me he's going to give us a car. I said, okay, whatever. God's going to give us a car, you know. And so anyway, I started praying with her, and I was like, you know, I just don't sense that. So I got online, and I found a car I liked. And I called the person. I met him in a parking lot. And we made a deal to buy this car. Went to the bank, got the money to borrow, and the loan went through perfectly, and the lady backed out. I thought, Another week goes by. I see another car that I wanted. I said, I'm going to go to, it was in Montgomery. I said, I'm going to go to Montgomery and look at this car. So I called Marina and said, hey, I'm going to go to Montgomery and look at this car. She said, you don't need to go look at this car. God's going to give us a car. I said, I don't think so. She said, well, go if you want to, but I'm not going. That's okay. Can I get an amen from all the men? Amen. I know your wife's sitting there. Be quiet. mine's in the back, so she's hearing everything. So I got in the car. I called the dealer and said, hey, I called yesterday. Mike Foreman, I want to come look at this car. He said, Mr. Foreman, I sold that car yesterday afternoon. I was like, oh, baby, doggone. So I was here, I was in Nashville for the convention, and my daughter lived in Clarksville, Tennessee. So I took the day afternoon off, and I went up to see my daughter. I said, hey, Hannah, I said, I saw on Facebook, there's a car I like for sale at this dealer. And so I said, let's go buy there. If I like this car, I'm going to buy it. Mama will be surprised, but I'll buy this car. And so I went up, pulled it. There's no lie. She could tell you, no lie. I pulled up on the parking lot. And the guy walked down the stairs, and he said, can I help you, sir? I said, yeah. I said, you see that car right there? I want to buy it. He said, well, you see that guy right there? And I said, yeah. He said, he just bought it. And that's when I finally said, okay, God, I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know how it's going to work. Can I just tell you right now in the parking lot, I'm not in a guest spot, but in a spot right out here. Greg, you know where my car is at. That's my God car. Because God gave us a car. Listen, that car is not paid off, Chris. Somebody else is making the payment. I don't have insurance on that car because somebody else is paying the insurance on that car. Listen, I don't buy the tag for that car. The other person's buying the tag for the car. All I got to do is drive it, keep gas in it, keep the tires rotated, and oil change. That's all I got to do. Let me tell you something. When you abide in Jesus, he knows your need. And I'm not saying he's going to always answer prayer that well. And that's specific, but he answers more specifically than you ever would imagine if you don't abide, if you're not in the Word. And you know why? Because when you're in the Word, he changes your wants and your desires. Amen? He knew that he was going to send me here, and we needed another car before I even knew that. He had to bring me in line. He already brought Marina in line, but he had to bring me in line. How so? The Word. And he says the second thing about that is, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, verse 7, you'll ask whatever you desire be done for you. But now notice this, he says, by this my Father is glorified. You want to glorify God? Abide. You say, well, tell me, that don't make any sense. I should be out there winning souls. I should be doing this. See, that's the problem. The problem is we think God expects us to do all this stuff. And by the way, he does. I'm not letting you off the hook. I'm not letting him off the hook, Pastor. I promise. I'm not letting you off the hook. It is about service, but here it is. It's about abiding in him so my service comes out of that. What we're trying to do is short-circuit it. What we're trying to do is glorify God because we're good. We're trying to glorify God because, oh, we go and we witness. Or I'm a greeter at the church. Or I sing in the choir. Or I'm on stage. Or whatever. Listen, it's not about me standing up here today preaching and God going, boy, Mike's an attaboy. Good job, Mike. I'm real impressed. God's not impressed. Listen, I'm just an ant. God can squash me at any time. But he sees me as his son who abides in him, and therefore he uses me. And that's what he wants to do in your life. But it first starts with spending time with him, abiding with him, and then out of that flows everything else. Please don't misunderstand. You're still going to bear fruit, but the fruit's going to come through him, right? Abide in his word, you glorify the Father. And then he says this, and so you'll be my disciples. If you want to be a true disciple, you're abiding. You're abiding in him, and you're abiding in his word. If you're not, then I would say, am I really a disciple of Christ? The third thing he says in there, verse 9, and we're not going to read all the way down. Let's just look at verse 9 and 10. He talks about abiding in something else. Notice what he says, verse 9. He says, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. So now we're abiding in him. We're abiding in his word. Now we're abiding in his love. And notice the love that he has for us. The love that he has for us is the same love that he and the Father enjoy together. Now, what kind of love is that? I don't know. I don't know, because I think it's deeper than any love I've ever experienced on earth. That love between the Father and the Son is deeper than we'll ever imagine, even between my wife and I. As much as I love my children, as I love my grandchildren, I don't know that I understand that perfect love that they share together and have for all of eternity. All I know is this, as pure and perfect as it is, that's how much Jesus loves me. Now, maybe you're hearing that for the first time today. Can I just tell you? That's good news. As a matter of fact, that love is what motivated God to come and send Jesus to die for you. You know, we learn from little small age that wonderful little song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, bud. Yeah, you know it. And we ought to sing it every once in a while. I know it seems childish, but it's a great reminder in verse 9 that what Jesus said is that I love you as much as the Father loves me. And then what does he say about that? Stay in my love. Remain in my love. Bask in his love. Enjoy his love. Why? Because there's times we don't see him working. There's times we don't feel him working. But you know what? There's always a time we can say, I'm in the love of Jesus. He's got me. Amen? He's holding on to me. People always talk about, oh, I'm just holding on to Jesus. Listen, no, you ain't holding on. He's holding on. Amen? That's his love. And his love is what drives him to say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah that he loves me. And he says, abide in that love. Are you abiding? Or are you one of these people, something happens, you go, well, I guess God doesn't love me. It's not based on what's going on around you, y'all. He loves you. And his love is faithful. I love what Paul told Timothy. Even if we're faithless, he remains what? Faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Thank you, God. Jesus says, abide in me. Abide in my word. Abide in my love. But then he says in verse 10, but there is a criteria. There is a stipulation. Notice what he says. As the Father loved me, verse 9, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. And if you keep my commandments, You will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. So there it is. So if I'm going to abide in the love of Jesus, I'm going to be an obedient Christian. So there is obedience, but notice what comes first. I abide in the love, and then as a result of that, I'm obedient. I shared in the first service, the reason why I do not cheat on my wife is because I love her. She's sitting right back there. I love her. I love my wife. And I would never embarrass her or hurt her. That's not what my wedding vows say. And I will not do that because I value her. But I also will not cheat on my wife because being in ministry 30 years, there's a lot of folks I've ministered to over the years. And I don't want them scratching their head going, what happened? I don't want to bring shame on the name of Christ. I don't want it to be another preacher in the tabloids that, oh, he's fallen because of such a... So I'm not saying it can never happen to me. I'm just telling you, and I'm not challenging the devil, and I'm not challenging my flesh or the world. I'm just saying that I put in safeguards in my life to protect myself, to help myself, because I don't want to fall. But I'm here to tell you, out of my love for my wife, and out of my love for Jesus, and out of my love for his church, it motivates me not to. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying here, because of his love for me, I want to obey him. There's nothing greater in my life than to one day hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and not fruitful servant, faithful servant. Was I faithful to him? Think about that. We substitute fruit too many times. That's not what he said. He said in that text literally, well done, thou good and faithful. Are you faithful? Well, you will not be faithful if you're not abiding. So abide in him, abide in his word, abide in his love. Now, oh, wait a minute. Before I move on, I want you to look at verse 11. Because notice what he says in verse 11. He says, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So what is that? That's another abiding, but Jesus is using the word abiding here in a different aspect. He's now using it as a promise. Jesus is saying that if you and I will abide in him, abide in his word, abide in his love, then as a result of that, not only are we glorifying God and being his disciples, but now we're experiencing joy. How joyful are you today? Do you got the joy of Jesus in your heart? You know, it's a great time of year. Of course, your pastor would celebrate Christmas every day if he could. It's a great time of year. You go to the shopping places, and now they got the lights up. You go to, you know, Pigeon Forge, they got lights up. You know, you got all these places, they got lights up everywhere. Celebrating Christmas. It's a joyful time of year, but let me tell you something. With Jesus in your heart is joyful every day. Amen? Are we experiencing the joy of being with Jesus? Because that's what he just promised. He said, not only would my joy abide in you, but notice what he said. Your joy will be made full. Overflowing. It'll come out, right? It'll be boiling up. Can I tell you, too many Christians look like they're sucking on persimmons. Amen? They don't seem happy. They don't seem joyful. And I begin to wonder, why are you not joyful? You know why? Because they ain't spending time with Jesus. If you spend time with Jesus, you're going to be joyful. You spend time with Jesus, I don't care what they sing from this stage, you're going to like it. Amen? And I'm not saying you guys are in a worship work, and I don't think you are, but I'm just saying the truth. Listen, I get it. There's times when, even as a preacher, I'd show up and be, I wish I'd just go home. I'm just not in it today. But man, when we begin to sing about Jesus, I get my eyes right, and I start focusing on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Man, by the end of the service, I'm pretty happy. I enjoy being there. Amen. Are we in Jesus experiencing his joy? And if we're not, we got to ask ourselves, why? Because I'm not abiding. Abide in him, abide in his word, abide in his love. One more thing before we leave, by the way. Because when we talk about commandments, and Jesus talked about commandments there, I know what's running through your mind. And we start getting this legalistic concept of our hearts. But you know, Jesus defined the commandment for us. Did you know that? By the way, I would submit to you that every commandment that is in the scripture for us to obey is born out of this one commandment. It really is, Chris. Born out of one commandment. And I don't want to miss it before we go. I missed it in the first service because I was in such a hurry. He told me I can preach all day if I wanted to this service. So I'm good to go. He said, y'all can endure it. So notice verse 12. He says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Folks, that's not hard. Well, maybe some days. But it's not hard. Listen, why do I tell people the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because I love them. Paul would take it to the next step. Paul would say, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. We're in debt to them. Did you know that? We're in debt to lost people to share the gospel. But if I love them, I'm going to share the gospel with them. Why do I love the churches of Marshall County? Because I'm commanded to love one another. Why do I love you at First Baptist? Because I've been commanded to love one another. That's easier some days than others. But you know what love is, right? Jesus said, you love me as much as I love you. How did Jesus love us? It was sacrificial. Remember, Jesus loved us with an obedience to the Father that Paul says in that wonderful hymn of Philippians chapter 2, that he would die on the cross, and he said, even suffer the death of the cross. He did for us. It was a sacrifice. So what is he saying? He's saying that I ought to love you and you ought to love me sacrificially. Paul would say it this way elsewhere. He would say that we ought not be conceited. I'm interpreting, paraphrasing. We ought not be conceited. We ought not think more of ourselves than we should, but we should esteem others as better than ourselves. Boy, that's not the American way. The American way is, I'm numero uno. It's all about me. I'm going to take care of Mike. I'm going to set up Mike. Let me tell you, when you start living for Jesus, you forget about yourself. Listen, I'm not trying to be boastful or pride. I'm just trying to tell you, I have failed so many times in that arena. So many times, Chris. I really have. But here lately, man, it just seems like I'm in a sweet spot right now. And I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying walking with Jesus. I'm seeing some favor in ministry and in our family. And it's just a blessing to us. But I know if I don't stay in a place of abiding, it's going to change. And it's not going to be him. It's going to be me. So I want to abide by being obedient to him. Love one another sacrificially. Jesus loved sacrificially. We ought to love sacrificially. So let's love one another. So the old hymn does say it best, trust and obey, for there is no other way to do what? To be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. I'm going to abide in him. I'm going to abide in his word. I'm going to abide in his love. And then listen, lastly, number four, Jesus hits the point in verse 16. And that is, I have fruit that abides, or fruit that remains. You know, the reality is that we're all looking to bear quick fruit. It's easy to do the things that bear us some quick success. Do you agree? That's true, isn't it? And we're all looking for something that'll bear quick success. Greg was on the search team that called me, and I told them, I said, you know, they're like, okay, you know, the good questions that, what are you going to do when you come? Well, you know, I'm going to try to do this, or I'm going to do that, and that sort of thing. But I told them, remember, Greg, I said, well, we're not looking for quick fruit. We're not looking for the quick things we can do. There'll be some wonderful things. We'll be able to do some. And listen, we're seeing some of those things. I'm making some content. Listen, when I came here, I had probably about 40 good numbers of pastors. I'm up to 64. Just got another one this morning. Because it's just about building relationships with God. That's, to me, the quick fruit. Now, the long extended fruit, that's what I'm living for. And that's what Jesus talked about in the text. Look at it, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Oh, I love that, by the way. We don't have time to preach that this morning. I wish I did. I don't have the time to preach it this morning, but here's the good news about that. We were all dead in our trespasses and sins, and we could not choose him, but he came looking for us. John said it this way best in 1 John. We love him because he first loved us. Oh, thank you, God, that you loved us in Jesus. He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Oh, what? He loved me enough. He saved me in order that I would go and bear fruit. It sounds very similar to what Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that He has prepared beforehand, that we should what? Walk in them. So we are saved not to sit and soak. We're saved to serve. The fruit is to be born out of our life in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is how we bear the fruit. He said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. The point is you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit, here it is, should remain. You know, many people are living for a legacy. Their name's going to be left behind. I went to my first Alabama game in person, my first in-person game yesterday. I had a blast. It was great. We blew New Mexico out of the water. It was great. But as I walked walk of champions, you know, you got all those names that are inscribed in the concrete. You got the statues that are there. You know, you go to the chimes and, you know, it's got the handprints and all that great stuff in there. I'm thinking, you know, that's a legacy that some people are leaving. But here's the reality. I don't want to leave my handprints in concrete. I don't want a statue to my name anywhere. I don't want a church to name their building after me when I'm dead and gone. What I want to see is the ministry continue on. That was the legacy of Jesus. Jesus said, I'm going to the Father. And He didn't say, listen, you guys build a legacy for yourself. You know what Jesus said? You'll be my witnesses. My ministry will continue through you. You will continue to preach the good news of the gospel to all the world. Listen, that's the legacy we ought to be concerned about. That's where our hearts ought to be this morning. Why? Because that's the heart of Jesus, that our fruit remain, that our legacy not be about us, but it be about the glory of God and the good news of the gospel that's going to go forth into the world. So are we abiding in Him? Are we abiding in the word of Jesus? Are we abiding in His love? And if we are, then I can promise you what Jesus is saying in verse 16, is that you'll have fruit that'll remain. Amen? I'm going to ask your pastor to come. We're going to have a time of commitment this morning. Maybe you're here. And earlier I talked about the gospel. And you say, oh, that's me. I need the gospel this morning. Listen, run to the altar. Chris is going to be here. You come this morning. Even right now, you start coming. You need Jesus. Come right now. He'll be glad to receive you. Maybe you're here this morning as a believer. And you say, you know what, I'm going through a dry spell, I'm not bearing fruit. Listen, maybe it's because you're not abiding. Listen, maybe you'd come to the altar today and just say, you know, Lord, I just want to stand before you. Doesn't matter who's looking, who's around. Lord, I just want to stand before you and say, today, I'm going to start abiding. Because that's what He's looking for today. Maybe God has told you to join this church home. Listen, the beautiful thing about abiding is we don't have to do it alone. Yes, we have a personal relationship with Christ, but we have all these brothers and sisters that we walk together with. We as preachers are good about making people feel guilty with the Hebrews verse that would say, you know, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together is the habit of some. But the reality is, the truth of the heart of the pastor is, the verse behind it that says that we come together to stir one another up for love and good works. You need a church home that's going to help you do that and to abide in Jesus? This is the place. This is the place. You come this morning. Brother Chris?
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.